Hi, and welcome to SpondyCast, where we bring together the best medical minds, thought leaders, scientists, patients, and caregivers to inform and inspire the spondylitis community. I'm your host, Jill Miller, living my best spa life, knowing that how we meet today has the power to change everything going forward. Please note that the information provided in this podcast should not be considered medical advice. We do encourage all listeners to consult their healthcare professionals for medical concerns. Thank you for listening, and we hope you find our discussion today enlightening. Hi, and welcome to SpondyCast. Today, our guest is Stephanie Fahuri. She's the program director for the Center for Healthcare Rights in Los Angeles, California. In her role, Ms. Fahuri provides Medicare and Medi-Cal advocacy and counseling on the center's countywide hotline. She conducts community education trainings on related topics and advocates for policies increasing access to affordable healthcare for low-income older adults and people with disabilities. Prior to this position, Ms. Fahuri was director of the Cancer Legal Resource Center, a program for the Disability Rights Legal Center. She earned her JD at Chicago Kent College of Law and her BA in History at the University of Michigan, Ann Arbor. She is a member of the State Bars of California and New York. Stephanie, I'm very excited for our conversation. This is a hot topic. How are you?
I'm doing great today. How are you?
I'm good. I'm over the moon. So we're going to have a good conversation today. And I think, you know, talk what you need to know around Medicare and Medi-Cal is going to be eye-opening, I think, for a lot of people to really get an understanding. And I know our listeners really enjoy sort of getting on the inside of some of these things. So tell us a little bit about you and what you do at the Center for Healthcare Rights. And I'm very interested to know how, like, what in your journey, like why you moved into this area.
Yeah, well, I have been very interested in healthcare and access to healthcare issues for a very long time. When I was in law school, I focused on public interest. I knew that I wanted to do something to give back. Not that all my colleagues that work in big law, you know, they're doing good work too, but this is what really called to me. And I actually became particularly interested due to my involvement in the health and disability law clinic, where I started learning a lot more about disability rights, disability issues, and, you know, disability is the one protected class that anyone could join at any time. And so I think we all think about aging as something that hopefully we are all lucky to accomplish, lucky right. to do, but disability could hit us at any time. And so learning about what rights people have and how accessing healthcare can impact everything else, employment, you know, ability to support your family, to support yourself, pay rent, et cetera. That's really what drew me to this work. So I started at Cancer Legal Resource Center, really focusing on improving people's understanding of their legal rights. And the more time I spent there, the more I realized I really cared deeply about healthcare issues. And with our aging population and the number of folks that are, you know, getting on disability and accessing Medicare through disability, I really felt called to learn more and become more of an expert related to Medicare specifically, and then also the other programs that support people on Medicare, such as Medi-Cal.
Amazing. So for anyone who doesn't know, can you tell us about like what the Center for Healthcare Rights and what services are available and how do they help older adults or people with disabilities like navigate the system?
Absolutely. Center for Healthcare Rights is an independent nonprofit organization. And the name of our organization implies that we do a broad range of things, but really the core of the work that we do is related to our HICAP program. So HICAP stands for Health Insurance Counseling and Advocacy Program. And there is a program like this in every county throughout California and also in every state. The federal government provides funding for states to set up programs that provide free, unbiased Medicare counseling and information and education. So we are part of the larger, it's called the State Health Insurance Assistance Program, or yep. SHIP. And so we are part of that network because California is so special. It's called HICAP in California. I believe the HICAP program actually predates the SHIP program nationwide.
Oh, wow.
California is always leading the charge.
Yeah.
And so our organization has actually been around, this is our 40th year of providing free Medicare information. We do this in a couple of different ways. We have a countywide helpline that people can call and schedule an appointment to speak with a registered HICAP counselor. Nice. A HICAP counselor is not an insurance agent. We're not brokers. We don't sell insurance. We get registered with the state to provide this free, unbiased Medicare information. So in addition to our helpline, we also provide one-on-one counseling in person at a number of senior centers and hospitals and other locations throughout the county so that people can come and, you know, the phone doesn't work for everybody. So some right. people do prefer that in-person assistance. And then in addition to the one-on-one counseling that we do, we also attend a lot of outreach events, having, you know, exhibit booths, spreading the word about HICAP services. And we do a lot of educational trainings and workshops, both for Medicare beneficiaries to learn, you know, how do I pick a drug plan, or, you know, what is Medicare? And then also providing in-service trainings for social service providers and other healthcare providers that work with Medicare beneficiaries so that they can learn more about the program.
Amazing.
It's pretty comprehensive, but all of it is intended to be neutral and unbiased.
That's so cool. And are the resources just for LA County, or are there access to resources for people outside LA County?
So our program specifically serves people in LA County, and we develop a lot of our own flyers and fact sheets. Some of those are going to be applicable nationwide. Some of them are maybe just applicable within the state of California because certain programs have different rules depending on which state you're in. And then a couple of our flyers or brochures are specific to LA County. But as I mentioned, HICAP is available throughout the state. And then the SHIP program is available, you know, in every single state. Right. Each program looks a little different because, for better or worse, they give us a lot of flexibility to run our own program the way that we think is required based on the demographics that we serve. But yeah, assistance is available nationwide, which is really exciting.
And the hotline is the best way to access services, or?
Yeah, I would say the hotline is probably the best way to get introduced to our services, or our website, healthcarerights.org. The phone number that we have on all of our materials is actually the statewide telephone number. So there's a system. I don't know how the mechanics work because that's not my area of expertise, but it will filter you based on the area that you're calling from or your area code on your phone. And so if you're up in San Francisco and want to get connected with HICAP, you can call that same number and get connected with the San Francisco HICAP.
Awesome. I'd love to be the person that developed that tech. Okay, let's break down Medicare. So I'm not overly versed in this, but like, what are the basic benefits that Medicare provides to people who are beneficiaries?
It's a great question. And no one is really well versed in this.
I know.
I like to tell people all the time that we get questions from literal rocket scientists at JPL, because Caltech is here in LA County. And it really doesn't matter what someone's educational background is. Medicare is confusing for everyone. So Medicare is general basic health insurance, typically for people 65 or older, or for people with a permanent disability. And it has four main parts that cover the different parts of your, some of its parts of your body, or the way that you access healthcare. So part A, for example, is the hospital coverage. So Medicare does cover inpatient hospital stays. It covers, Part A also covers some home health care, a stay in a skilled nursing facility, and then also hospice for people that have a terminal illness. Medicare Part B, as in boy, is more of the outpatient services. So, you know, doctor visits, lab tests, x-rays, preventive care like vaccines and mammograms and colonoscopies and other cancer screenings, mental health, all sorts of outpatient services, durable medical equipment like, you know, a walker or a wheelchair or a CPAP machine, stuff like that. So that's Part B, outpatient. And then Part D is the other main part of Medicare, which covers, D stands for drugs, right? So it covers the prescription drugs. Wow.
I always just thought it was A, B, C, D.
Yeah, and we can come back to what Part C refers to, because that's really, I think of C as standing for choice. It is an optional way for people to receive their Medicare coverage. It's not an official part of Medicare. It is a choice for how to receive that coverage.
Is there an infographic on this? Well, the way you described it makes it so much easier than anything I've ever experienced in thinking about this. So
yeah, honestly, on some of our fact sheets, we have some side-by-side comparisons of, you know, when you have Medicare, you have that red, white, and blue Medicare card. Original Medicare is what we refer to as the red, white, and blue card, with a standalone drug plan. And then on the other side of our infographic chart, we have a Medicare Advantage plan card, which is the alternative option to original Medicare. So there's, when people are becoming eligible for Medicare and trying to navigate this entire system, that's a really great time to talk to someone at HICAP or at your local SHIP program.
Yeah.
Because we can help you figure out which fork in the road to take.
Yeah.
And because it is very complex.
Crazy. Okay. So are there things that people should consider when they're looking at the Part D? I've heard a lot of people talking about this.
Yes. So there are a number of different things that people need to consider when they are looking at different drug plans. One of those being, does this plan cover my medications, right? And the easiest tool to use, which is not always 100% user friendly, but it is a tool that is available to everyone. It's online on the Medicare.gov website. And on that website, you can have a login where you save a list of your prescriptions. But if you don't want to set up a Medicare.gov account, you can also just enter the prescriptions one by one. And once you get the list to compare, I would say the top things that are typically important for people to look at is, first of all, like I said, are the prescriptions that you are being prescribed by your doctor actually covered by the plan? There are some types of medications that just aren't covered by Medicare at all, if they're not FDA approved yet, or if there are certain classes of drugs that are, maybe they're not considering them to be medically necessary, or certain compounded medications are typically not covered by Medicare. But many of the things that we typically think about as, you know, being covered by a prescription drug plan typically are. I would say people are often looking to compare the monthly premium, right? How much is it going to cost me to have this drug plan every month, even if I don't fill prescriptions? That's the first question. How much is this going to cost every month? And then what are the copays going to be for my prescriptions each month? So how much am I going to be paying out of my pocket? Another question that comes up, or another concern that comes up for folks, is the deductible, because some of the drug plans have a standard deductible, and a deductible is how much you are paying out of your pocket before the plan kicks anything in. And so looking forward to this upcoming year, I believe the drug plan deductible is going to be around $590. So if you take really expensive medications, that might mean that in January and February, you're spending a whole lot more out of your pocket to meet that deductible before your plan starts kicking anything in. And then the last thing I would say, you know, certainly is your preferred pharmacy and network. And then also, are there required pre-authorizations? Will they require step therapy in order to approve a certain medication, where you have to try other stuff and fail before they'll approve? That is usually, those are hurdles that people want to avoid if possible. And so that can be a way to sort of drill down. If the costs look pretty similar, maybe there's one plan that is a little bit more flexible than another.
Okay. Can we pause and stop? Not stop, talk about step therapy for a second.
Sure.
Because this is one I think that there's a lot of interest, and we don't all know how this works.
Yeah. So my understanding, and I will say, you know, because I'm not a medical practitioner, I don't know the details of what this looks like in person, but my understanding of how step therapy works is, let's say a doctor prescribes a very expensive specialty drug that's maybe new to the market, or new-ish, but it's expensive. And I think we all have a general understanding that health insurance is not in the business of giving away things for free, right? There is always a concern about costs, yeah, and they're more likely to approve less expensive medications, which is part of why, you know, Medicare really does push people towards generics versus brand name drugs, for example. Generic is obviously typically much less expensive. So if someone is prescribed a medication that the drug plan has said, oh, this requires step therapy, what that usually means is the patient or the beneficiary is going to be required to try other less expensive medications that are also on that drug plan formulary, the list of approved drugs, and see if those work, right? So see if it works. If it doesn't, then they'll approve switching to something else. And I don't know if there are certain conditions or certain medications where they might require you to try multiple drugs before ultimately approving the one that your doctor wanted to prescribe at the beginning. But, you know, once you've gone through that process, my understanding is that they will typically, if you get to the point where they say, yes, sure, we'll approve that specialty drug, usually the approval might be for a year or so. And then it's possible that you may need to do a system like that again in the future, or if you change drug plans.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that. I guess because you get approval for a period of time generally on any drug that's kind of expensive, or maybe any of them. And so do you guys do some workshops, but do you do one on Part D?
We do. So open enrollment for Medicare Part D is during the fall, October 15th to December 7th, every year. And anytime someone makes a change during that period, it becomes effective January 1st. So during and right before the open enrollment period is when we get the most requests for some of the workshops that we do around, you know, getting ready for open enrollment, where we will discuss the upcoming changes to Part D for the upcoming year. Because spoiler alert, there's a lot of things changing thanks to the Inflation Reduction Act, which I'm sure we will talk about in a little while.
Ooh, yeah.
But we do like to educate people about how to go about comparing their drug plan options, how to use the Medicare.gov plan finder search tool, how to access our services so that we can, because that is something that we do, we can help people compare their options. This is a big thing that people request during open enrollment. But yeah, we do a lot of trainings related to Part D and sort of what the benefits are, the financial assistance programs that can help with the cost of Part D drugs, and how to get ready for open enrollment.
Oh, amazing. So I think listeners may want to check out the website on that note. Do you want to talk the Inflation Reduction Act now, or do we want to talk it? And we're going to do part two. So you want to talk about it now?
Sure. So, you know, the Inflation Reduction Act has made a lot of changes to Medicare Part D in particular. One of the changes that's already gone into effect was the cap on insulin costs on a monthly basis. It's capped at $35 per month.
Finally. And
yeah, no kidding. And then this year, one of the changes as we get ready for a big change happening next year was that we, this year, 2024, do have a cap on out-of-pocket costs at about $8,000. And they have eliminated the cost sharing during the catastrophic coverage phase. So, you know, we still have what's called the donut hole. We still have, it's called, you know, the coverage gap where, yeah, you know, the co-pays that you might be paying on a monthly basis might be changing. But all of that is to say that looking forward to January 1st, 2025, which is just a couple months away, there are some exciting changes. So first, the out-of-pocket maximum for Part D is going to be $2,000.
Oh my God.
I will say that again, $2,000. $2,000 out-of-pocket maximum, which is a tremendous change. We work with a lot of people that have Medicare that are constantly struggling with their prescription drug costs, especially some of the folks that are just above the income limits for, you know, financial assistance like Extra Help or you know, Medicaid or Medi-Cal. They can get into really complicated situations with challenging costs at the pharmacy. So I think the cap is a huge change that we're really looking forward to. Now, I mentioned before, you know, this idea of a really high deductible, which can put some people into a challenging position at the beginning of the year when they are trying to fill their expensive prescriptions and realizing that, you know, if I pay for my copay because this is a special tier 5 specialty drug, my out-of-pocket cost might be $300. And maybe that's, you know, the difference between them paying their mortgage or paying their rent and also buying groceries or something like that. So another big change that's going to be taking place as of January 1st is the idea of a payment plan system, where at the pharmacy, folks will be able to set up a payment plan to spread out the costs of those expensive copays if it's too much to pay all at once. So that's exciting. Another change that just came out this week that was announced was the negotiated drug prices for a list of, I think it was 9 or 10 different brand name medications. A couple of the ones on that list are ones that I've personally had clients that have really struggled to pay those copays again in January. So not only will the cost be lowered, but for folks filling those prescriptions, if it's still too expensive at the pharmacy to pay all at once, they'll be able to spread those costs out throughout the year.
That's amazing.
It's really incredible. I think, you know, the couple of other changes that are taking place because of some changing rules, some of them have to do a little bit more with those Medicare Advantage plans or Part C.
Right.
But one change is related to agent and broker incentives to sign people up for certain plans. There are new rules regulating a little bit more as to what kinds of incentives can be available to agents and brokers, because we do see that they get paid a lot more to enroll folks in a Medicare Advantage plan, which is typically an HMO, at least in LA County, they're almost all HMOs, as compared to helping someone with a standalone drug plan so they can stay in original Medicare.
Amazing. Okay. So on this note, we're gonna wrap part one on a good note, which is the changes. And then we're going to talk a little bit about gaps in episode two of this. Did we miss anything? This has been great information. So
I think the one thing I didn't mention about HICAP and about the SHIP program in general is that one other way, well, there's two other ways to actually get in touch with the local program. Obviously, we have all sorts of resources on our website, but most people with Medicare at some point in their lives get a copy of a very thick Medicare and You book that is typically released in the fall in anticipation of open enrollment. And I have yet to meet a single person who has ever flipped it over to the back cover and realized that on the back cover, it specifically says, for personalized health insurance counseling, call this number. And in California, it says, Health Insurance Counseling and Advocacy Program, HICAP, SHIP for California. So our phone number, our statewide phone number, is literally on the back of the Medicare and You book. The same is true in other states. And then the one last plug that I'll give is that if you forget all of that, someone can always call 1-800-MEDICARE and ask to be referred to their local SHIP or HICAP program. And by the way, these programs are called different things in different states. So in Oregon, it's called the SHIBA program. And in Florida, it's the SHINE program. So if you ask for what's the SHIP program, S-H-I-P as in plan or program, you know, the 1-800-MEDICARE folks should be able to refer you to assistance in your area.
Yeah, that's amazing. All right. On that, let's continue our conversation another time, but it's been very lovely having you, and I can't wait to talk next about how we bridge the gaps. This is my favorite topic in life. So how do we like close those gaps and create the solutions? So thank you for joining us, Stephanie, and we'll see you very soon.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me.
SpondyCast was made possible by donations from the Spondylitis Association of America's individual members and our show's corporate sponsor, AbbVie.
Since our founding in 1983, the Spondylitis Association of America has been the face, voice, and leading nationwide nonprofit educating, empowering, and advocating for people living with spondyloarthritis. Through our extensive work with patients, the medical community, and partners, we provide information and resources to help people impacted by the disease live better lives and champion research to find a cure.